We'll do it live. Fuck it.
But you got a few minutes now?
Yeah.
All right, let's just get this shit 3, 2, 1. Everybody, welcome to the show here at HalfGuarded.com. I'm Mike Coughlin, doing the radio show Guy Voice, and we have with us the soon-to-be victor of his second UFC fight, Mickey Gall, a.k.a. the man fighting CM Punk, as he's been tagged lately. Mickey, how are you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing very well. How about yourself?
Hanging there with my dogs. Just got back from the gym myself. I imagine you're in and out of the gym all the time right now.
Yeah, I'm. I just came from a practice, and now I'm going to another one.
How many times a day are you practicing right now? I mean, I'm sure you're tapering off.
Two a day. Monday to Friday, and then in the past, I've done it 6 days a week. But this camp, I'm just doing it 5 days a week, give my body a little more rest time. It's been working great.
So the fact that you're training less now per week, is that you just kind of signaling to the world that you don't really think Punk is much of a challenge?
No, absolutely not. I'm training my ass off for this fight. I'm taking this fight very seriously. Although I'm supremely confident. I know I'll be better than him in every facet, every aspect. I want to completely dominate every minute, and I want to make an example in this fight. I want to show off, for lack of a better word. I want to show what I'm capable of.
Yeah, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't, give you a lot of credit for, and this is because you don't have a Wikipedia page yet, is that at the age of 24, you're already a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and those types of things don't happen by accident. Anyone who's ever been in a gym knows that, guys like me in my 30s are blue belts. So brown belt at 24, you've been pretty legitimately seriously training for a number of years now, haven't you?
Yeah, and I'm a very legit brown belt. I train under David Adib. He trained under Hickson and then Hoyler. He's like a scientist, man. He's a monster. He's great. So I trained under him for years. He doesn't give belts like you get in a box of cereal. You got to earn that.
You didn't get an online belt like you would from some other Gracie.
Nah, nothing like that. Then you got to put in your mat time and actually be proficient.
Yeah, and I've seen you've actually got a number of pretty legitimate titles under your belt, so to speak, from Naga and Grappler's Quest and such.
Yeah, I've done a lot of those competitions. I enjoy those, man. I like going out and going to war.
What would you say is like your most, your highest or most, I don't know, prestigious accomplishment in your mind?
To me, I don't know. I guess I'd say, being in the UFC, that's been a dream of mine. My goal is to be a UFC champion. I've won, an amateur belt, in MMA. I've won, Naga tournaments, Grappler's Quest, like world championships, both of those. But, my thing is to be a UFC fighter, and I want to be a UFC champion one day.
Did you, ever envision getting into the UFC this quickly?
No, I didn't. I figured I'd still be fighting. I figure I'd be probably about 4-0 now, fighting regionally, and I'd probably have to beat up two more guys impressively, and then I'd be in the UFC. But then, Dana White showed up in my first professional fight, and I won impressively, and I said a superstar's name on the microphone after, and then, here I am.
And had you planned that out at all, or were you just in the moment just thinking, what the hell, I'll go for it?
No, I planned it out. Once I found out Dana White was going to be at my pro debut, I was like, well, how do I make the most of this? Dana's probably not going to be at my next fight or however many after, assuming I'm still fighting on the regional circuit. So then I got off the phone with Frankie Perez, the owner of who I was fighting for, Dead Serious MMA. I was like, oh, I'm going to call out CM Punk. Once I get my win, I'm gonna say CM Punk's name. He would be 0-0. And I knew I'd be 1-0, so I'd be able to, that's a like record. Next fight could happen. I can't call out, who am I gonna call out? Like, at the time, the champ, Robbie Lawler. Like, that'd be ridiculous. They'd be like, shut up, kid, you're stupid. But you know, CM Punk, that fight, I could actually see that happening. So, yeah, that's it. I just want to get to UFC, man. That was my goal. I wanted to get to UFC, and I want to, you know, I'm going to excel here.
And it is funny because even though you're 1-0 in the UFC, it was kind of, I don't want to say a gimme fight because there's no such thing, but you are still kind of fighting basically at the lowest levels of professional fighters because, again, it's CM Punk's debut, and you're probably two guys that if you weren't in the UFC would be fighting each other on a regional circuit.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I totally see what you mean, and I've thought the same myself. You know, I'm excited to show what I'm capable of in this fight. You know, put on display, put on a clinic, just a clinic in violence, and then you know, then I get to fight the real killers. That's what I want. I want to go to war with the best fighters in the world.
Is it kind of surreal? Because I know I saw you mention a quote that you don't really think that you guys belong in the pay per view, but everybody understands why. But is it kind of surreal to you that on a show with, you know, Alistair Overeem and Fabricio Werdum, Stipe Miocic, all these, like, huge, huge names, that your name is right up there at the top of the marquee?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, it's a great opportunity. It's a high-risk, high-reward situation. And I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to win this fight. But, yeah, it's crazy, man. It's hard to say what anyone deserves. But it's definitely a little funky being on the main card. I feel like I should be, you know, a prelim guy still. But you know, this guy's a big superstar, going to bring a lot of pay per view buys, a lot of attention. So you know, I totally get the business move, and I'm very happy to benefit from it. It's an honor.
Yeah. Before all this ever happened, I mean, again, early 20s. Did you know who CM Punk was before any of all this started?
Not really. When I was younger, I watched wrestling. I was like a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. Then I went to middle school, and I was like, this is, you know, whatever. And then, you know, I guess I was aware of his name the same way I was aware of like a John Cena, you know, some of those guys who were very popular. You just know their name in pop culture, whatever. Then when he said he was going to do the UFC, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then when, you know, I found out Dana was going to be there and I'm hearing about this guy, I'm like, oh, I guess I could try this. So, yeah, that's, you know, I never thought me and this dude would be, you know, anything, you know.
And, I mean, obviously everybody, you know, you're referred to still as his opponent. That's how people know you. But has it kind of gone through your mind that, presuming you win, and I know everybody's just making those assumptions, and sometimes it can be kind of bad to hear that over and over again, but presuming you win, that you'll now have, like, kind of a weird target on your back because you'll be the guy that got all this exposure, and suddenly maybe there's going to be other welterweights who are far more experienced who think, hey, they can use you to make a name for themselves.
Sure. Yeah, I'll absolutely, you know, this fight's going to catapult my career, and I will have a target on my back. But, you know, that's what this sport is. We fight. So I plan on fighting everyone anyway on my way, you know, to the top. So target doesn't scare me. I got a target on everyone else, too.
You obviously, the fight was kind of delayed a little bit due to injury. Do you feel like that's kind of like stunted your career a little bit, and that most people, when they turn pro right away, tend to get a bunch of fights in right away, and instead you're having almost this, you know, half a year layoff in between fights?
Well, you know, there's a reason they call this fight a lottery ticket. It would have been silly for me to be pissy and demand, oh, I want a fight, I want another fight. There, you know, this fight was a money fight. It's worth, you know, the wait. It was worth, you know, the 6 months. I'm very proud of what I did in the past 6 months. I trained doggedly, and I'm a much better version of myself than I beat up the guy who I beat up my version of myself who fought in February. I made the most of this time, and I prepared myself for the, you know, the best of the UFC and CM Punk.
And you know, again, I have to ask some dumb, boring questions for everybody else's sake. Have you watched any of the specials and footage on CM Punk?
Yeah, I watched that show. I'm actually gonna be on it next week too. They came out and filmed with me, my family, my team. But yeah, I watched it. You know, he looks, he doesn't move like me, man. He doesn't move like an athlete, at least an athlete of my caliber. You know, he moved clunky, and you see the bad, you see the sloppy technique and the bad habits. And while, you know, training at Rufus Sport under Duke Rufus, I'm sure he's improved tremendously. But also, once he gets in the fight with me and he's getting hit and he's in the shit, those bad habits are going to come out, and I'm going to be able to expose that and, you know, destroy him.
Yeah, I do think that's one thing that a lot of people overlook, and I say this as somebody that 13 years ago had an amateur fight and was totally unprepared for it, is that the moment I got hit, everything I thought I knew went out the window. And I think until you've really been in there, you can, you know, do all the training and preparation you want, but you've got the advantage of, you know, several fights under your belt. And, you know, for all you know, or he knows, the first time you crack him with one punch, he may just wilt.
Yeah, anyone who's, you know, you just said you've had an MMA fight. Anyone who's had an MMA fight will tell you, no matter how many sparring sessions you do, when you're in the cage, it's different. It's just different in there. For, you know, it's almost hard to explain, but it's different in there. And, you know, they're putting him through these sparring sessions and stuff, but it's, you know, when he gets in there, and it's the real deal. He's been in a ring in front of thousands of people. But it's been a predetermined outcome. It's been, it's like a choreographed type thing. He's standing across from me, and within the rules that I'm going to be trying to kill him. So, it's a different world. He's going to learn what this shit's really about.
Yeah, and I think, again, speaking of your advantages, being a brown belt, his natural base before he started any of this, he, you know, trained a little jiu-jitsu. So his instincts, when everything goes bad, are going to play pretty much right into your strength. It's not like, you know, you're a kickboxer who's never wrestled or done jiu-jitsu. You're a guy that is, you know, if you didn't know how to strike, you'd still have considerable advantages over him, one would presume.
Yeah, I guess I'd be probably considered more of a jiu-jitsu guy. That'd be my specialty. But, all my fights, I go in there and I thump a striker and make them, you know, either fall down or make them, you know, cover. I've trained my striking for years as well. My striking is very proficient. It's gotten better. You know, my last fight, I dropped a guy in under a minute, and you know, I've gotten better since then. So, I see myself dominating him in every fashion.
I was going to ask. I saw you posting a lot about something called the fight call. What is the fight call?
The fight call with Mickey Gall. I take the UFC Snapchat account and we watch Fight Pass fights. So like, I think this Thursday we're gonna watch Gustafson and Jones because Gustafson's fighting this weekend. We'll watch that fight. I like to watch close fights and everyone gives their take on it. Last week we watched Jim Miller versus Lozon, and we did it with Jim Miller, who's one of my teammates. That's what we did last week. It's fun. It's on the UFC Snapchat. So, get on that. It's fun. Watch the fights with us, you know, talk some shit, whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did it feel, or how is Jim Miller doing, I guess, after yet another war with Joe Lozon?
Dude, he's a stud. Anyone who's familiar with MMA, you know Jim, and you know that dude goes to war, leaves it all out there. He's good, man. He's happy. It's actually his birthday today, so happy birthday, Jim.
Ah, fantastic. Although this will be airing later, but whatever, people. Just pretend. You don't know what his birthday is, people listening. You don't care. when you're kind of like, again, being younger, you've obviously grown up with the sport as basically always being a giant deal. Like, it's, you know, you probably don't really remember a time when the UFC wasn't, super popular. Did you have that moment, like that fighter, whomever it was, you know, special fighter that just kind of made something click in your head one day and you go, that's it. That's what I want to do.
I don't know if it was off a particular fighter. When I started, I got into sport when I was 16. I was a fan of, actually, I was a fan before I ever trained with them, with Jim and Dan Miller, being a Jersey guy. I was like, oh, look at these tough Jersey guys going out, and they always scrap. They always bring, you know, a great, exciting fight. I was also a big Chuck Liddell fan, like everyone else was. I watched those guys, and I was like, oh, man, I could do this. This is the ultimate sport. This is what I want to do.
What is it about New Jersey that just seems to be breeding just lots of really, not just good fighters, but tough fighters?
I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot of that. Everyone in Jersey thinks they can fight. you find a lot of that. Real tough guys. A lot of fake tough guys. Everyone thinks they can fight. I don't know. I guess I don't know. It's a good question.
A little bit of a chip on your shoulder, given that, you know, everybody kind of makes fun of New Jersey because you're not New York or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe we're that little brother to New York.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it, but there's video out there once of Punk in the middle of his training, and he was at the New Jersey Devils locker room. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Yeah, I mean, and he's from my hometown of Chicago, and he's a big Blackhawks fan, and I'm seeing him wearing a Devils jersey, and I'm thinking, I don't know about that. So I'm thinking, you know, you might want to have to, you know, have a word with him about that.
Yeah, in my backyard, right? I think I was still about to fight Jackson at that point, so he wasn't quite my opponent yet. But so I guess I'll let that one slide.
And I know you gotta get going and doing, you know, weird stuff like that. Real training. Now that you're famous, for want of a better word, in your training, is it a little different now to train and then have to talk to jackasses like me on the side?
Nah, man, it's cool. I enjoy, you know, I'm very fortunate that people want to talk to me about what I'd love to do. So, you know, it's cool. I enjoy it. Like the whole media week on fight week, all that media, I enjoy that shit, man. It's fun. And, you know, I appreciate your interest, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, no, the pleasure's all mine. I wish you the best of luck. I actually know people that train with Punk, and I don't think you... I don't want to say too much, but I don't know if you need too much luck. That said,
why? What do you hear? Spill the bean.
Well, you know, I don't want to go into specifics. Just that he's improved a lot, and he works really hard, is what I hear. I don't hear anything like he's some, you know, takes to it like a fish in water. But again, he's a 37-year-old guy. He's not Brock Lesnar. He's just a regular dude trying it, and everybody says they have a ton of respect for the guy. That he works his ass off, and that he's improved. But you hear that from everybody. Nobody's going to tell me, by the way, he actually kind of really, really sucks.
That's what they say?
Nah, nobody says that. Although, actually, I can say this part, because I'm going to edit this out anyways.
The Half-Guarded Hour here at HalfGuarded.com is proudly brought to you by our sponsor, smoking. While we cannot legally tell people under the age of 18 to smoke, we can say that anyone between the ages of 14 and 23 instantly looks cooler if they do. So when you're thinking about your future, don't. Instead, grab a pack, light up, and look like the badass you always imagined yourself to be. Sure, one day you'll be drowning your own fluids, but that's later, and this is now. Smoking. It's not a habit. It's just cool.
Yeah.
But oh well. Anyways, everybody, if you just heard an awkward pause, people, that's because I edited it out. Mickey Gall, plug Twitter. You, whatever you've got to plug, you gotta learn to start plugging things now. So
yeah, I'm at Mickey Gall, MickeyGall on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all that stuff. And yeah, I actually, you know, I follow you guys, Half Guarded. I enjoy your guys' articles, man. You guys are cool.
Well, I really appreciate that. And somebody else that appreciates an article, everybody, just to put myself up a little bit, was Mark Hunter retweeted our article today about how if you get caught cheating for steroids, a percentage of your purse should go to your opponent, not to the Athletic Commission, because that makes no sense. So, Mickey, say that again.
No, nothing. I'm good.
All right, no, that's fine. I know you got to go train. I'll sit around and talk MMA all day. That's my problem.
Hell yeah, bro. I'm down with it. You know. we'll do this again for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Best of luck to you, everybody. That was Mickey Gall. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later, and go fuck yourselves.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter. Don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about.
We hope you enjoy your